dear listeners, we, Radio Our Queen of Peace, would like to introduce to you a testimony of Miss Gloria Polo, a Colombian dentist who died and returned. Ming In and Kim Ha are reading from chapter 9 to chapter 12 of the testimony.
The Testimony of Gloria Polo, Chapter 9, The Sacrament. Only by way of the priest do we have the sacrament of reconciliation, for example. Only by way of him do we obtain the pardon of our fault. Do you know what the confessional is? It is the bathing of souls, not with water and soap, but with the blood of Christ. When my soul was filthy, black due to sin, if I would have confessed, it would have been washed with the blood of Christ. Furthermore, I would have broken the strings that held me tied to the evil one. Would he not therefore have risen the devil to detest the priest? Also those who might have been great sinners have the power of absolve sin, and the Lord showed me how in the wound of his heart. Yes, you know, there are things which surpass the intellect of man because they are spiritual realities. And yes, we are talking about truths more real than ours. Through this wound, I was saying, a soul rises up to the divine level, to the level of the divine mercy, to the door of mercy. It rises up to the heart of Jesus, eternal priest, and there Jesus places his cross, bleeding in his eternal presence, and that soul returns clean. Now I see how my soul returned clean in the confession and in every sin that I confess. Our Lord breaks the things that united me to Satan, and I unfortunately stay away from confession. But all this happens only by way of the priest. Thus we have been obligation and the duty to pray for them, so that God might protect them, might enlighten them, and might guide them. For all these motives, the evil hates terribly the Catholic Church and the priest. Chapter 10, Matrimony. I would like to speak to you about the great grace that is the sacrament of the matrimony. When we enter into church today of our wedding, moment in which we say our yes, promising to the faith forever, in joy and in sorrow, in health and in sickness, etc. Do you know to whom we promise? Nothing more, nothing less than to God the Father, our God, is enthralled with. Matrimony, he is the only witness. When we say these words, each of us, when we will die, will see this moment precisely in the book of life. Then we will catch sight of an indescribable golden light and intense splendor. God the Father writes these words in the book with letters of gold so beautiful. In the moment in which we receive the body and the blood of Jesus, we form a pact with God and with the person whom we have chosen to share together a life. When we pronounce these words, we say them to the Most Holy Trinity. I saw that on the day of my matrimony, when myself and my husband received the Most Holy Eucharist, we were no longer two, but thee, we two, and Jesus. In fact, as soon as we communicate with Jesus, He unites us as one thing only. He faces us in His heart, and we become one, forming with Jesus a Holy Trinity. Let men not separate what God has united. Now I ask, who separates this one? No one, no one, brothers, can separate it. No one, after the matrimony has been consummated. And if the two spouses arrive virgin to the matrimony, you cannot imagine the blessing that are poured on this matrimony. I saw also the matrimony of my parents. When my father slipped the ring on the finger of my mother, and the priest declared them husband and wife, our Lord consigned to my father a staff of wood, shining with light, which seemed a little bent. We are dealing here with a grace that God gives to the man. It is a gift of authority of God the Father, so that this man might be able to guide this little flock who are His children born in matrimony, and also to defend the matrimony and the children from so many evils that attack the families. To my mother, God the Father places in the heart something that seemed like a sphere of fire, so beautiful. It signifies the love of God, the Holy Spirit. I knew that my mother was a very pure woman. God was happy, joyous. You cannot imagine how many unclean spirits seized my father in that moment. These spirits seemed like lava, bloodsuckers. You know, when someone has relationship outside of marriage, the evil spirits immediately attack themselves to all the parts of the person. They begin to his sexual organs. They take possession of flesh, of the hormones. They occupy the brain. They take the pituitary gland and all the neurological parts of the organism of the person, and they begin to produce a quantity of hormones that bring the instinct lower. They transform a child of God into a slave of the flesh, of his own instinct, of his sexual appetite, that which brings a person to be that which, as they say, they enjoy life. When a couple is virgin, it gives glory to God. A sacred pact happens with Him, who sanctifies this sexuality. In fact, the sexuality is not sin. God has given it as a blessing, because sexuality in God and the couple, where there is the sacrament of matrimony, also if spouses did not arrive these virgins, God is present in this sacramental bed. Because in the wedding bed, blessed by the sacrament of matrimony, there is a Holy Spirit. Even in the meals of this couple, there is a presence of the Lord God who blesses the food. God remains enraptured before matrimony. He is happy to accompany the spouses in their new life. In this beginning of a new life together, the couple and the Lord form a trinity. Unfortunately, many spouses do not know this. They do not have this notion, and they do not even think about God. They marry only because of tradition and not for faith. They think only to go out of church to go to have a party, to eat, to drink, to take off on the honeymoon. Keep in mind that in this there is no evil. The evil lies in leaving the law outside of all of this, as I did. Who left the law on the street? It did not even enter my head to invite him in my new life, in our new home. He, in fact, has pleasure that we invite him to enter and to be with us forever. In the joys and in the moments less good, he desires that we feel his presence. Certainly, in the sacrament of matrimony, the Lord is present also without being invited. But how much more beautiful it would be if of this presence we might be conscious. In the matrimony of my parents, the most beautiful thing was that God gave back to my father the gifts and the grace that he had lost. This because he married my mother, who was a woman very pure in sentiments and virgin. I look at my father, his disorder and filthy sexuality, but because he was very macho and his friends having begun to put into him poison, telling him not to let the wife charm and dominate him, and that he had to continue his life as before. And so 2 weeks after matrimony, he ended up in a whorehouse in order to show his friends that he was continuing to be the same, that he did not let himself be dominated by the wife. Do you know how this staff of authority and protection that God gave him ended up? The devil took it away from him, and all those evil spirits, those unclean beings, returned to take him to themselves. From pastor of this flock, my father transformed himself into a wolf of his own family and of his home. When one is unfaithful to his wedding, he is unfaithful to God. He is lacking in his word to be oath that he made to God and to the person that he married in the day of his matrimony. He does not do what he promised. If someone has the intention of not being faithful to his own marriage, it is better not to get married. The Lord tells us, if you are unfaithful, you will condemn yourself. If you will not be faithful, do not get married. Son, daughter, ask me the grace to be faithful to your wife, to your husband, and to God. So many evils come into a marriage due to the infidelity. A husband, for example, goes to a whorehouse or is unfaithful with the secretary. Notwithstanding the precautions, he contracts a virus and even washing himself afterwards. That virus does not die. So when later he has relations with the wife, the virus entered the vagina of the woman and it remains there, is in the bottom and arrive to the uterus. In time it forms an ulcer of which often the woman does not notice. And when years later the wife goes to the doctor suffering very much, it is diagnosis cancer. Yes, cancer. And then who say that adultery does not kill? Moreover, how many abortions are done due to adultery. For example, how many women who had been unfaithful and became pregnant have recourse to abortion so that the husband might not discover it. They kill an innocent one that is not able to speak nor defend himself. And this is only some example. Adultery kills in so many and diverse forms. Then we still have the courage to protest against God. When things do not go well, when we have problems, when sicknesses arrive, why it is we who procure these things with our sins, drawing evil on our life. Behind sin, there is always the evil one. We open the doors to him when we sin so gravely, and then still we lament that God does not love us. Where is God? We permitted this or that. What nerve we have. May you, now that God is the rock that protects marriage, woe to the one who tried to destroy a matrimony. When someone tries, he collides with this rock who is Jesus. When defends matrimony, does not ever doubt it. I desire also to inform you to be very careful with regard to those mother-in-laws who interfere in the marriage of the children to disturb them, causing problems in their relationships. Also, if the son-in-law or the daughter-in-law in the right or in the wrong, that they might not be able to her liking. They are already married, and there is nothing more to do. The only thing is to pray for them, that they might pray for that marriage, but put it aside. Many women have condemned themselves for having interfered in the marriage of their children. This is the grave sin. If you see that something is not going right, that one of them or both are sinning, supplicate God for them. Ask help from God. You can also call the couple and speak to the two, inviting them to save the marriage, to think about the children, and reminding them that marriage is for love, to give and to forgive reciprocally. One must fight in favor of the marriage. This, yes, but never interfere in another way, and even less to take a position in favor of one or the other.
Chapter 11. Honor the father and the mother. Jesus continued to show me everything. I already recounted to you how I was ungrateful to my parents, how I was ashamed of them. I spoke bad about them because they were poor and could not give me all that my rich friends had. I was an ungrateful daughter to the point of saying that one was not my mother because she seemed inferior to me. It was frightening to see a summary of a woman without God. She destroys all that she draws near to. And beyond all this, and this is the worst thing, I felt and I believed to be a very good person. I thought that regarding the fourth commandment, I could have passed through well, because my parents have cost me a lot. I spent a lot of money for them due to their sicknesses. All the analyses, in fact, were done by payments because both of them had grave sicknesses before dying. It was my husband who covered the expenses. And good say, look after a little bit these two shameless ones. They do not leave a penny, and even more it is necessary to spend a fortune for them. The parents of my friends instead leave goods, and the Lord showed me how I analyzed everything from the point of view of money, because I manipulated even my parents when I had money and power. I even profited from them. With money I made myself God, and I trampled on even my parents. Do you know what grieved me the most? To see them there. My father was crying, seeing that he had been a good father, that he had taught the daughter to be a worker, a fighter, an entrepreneur, to be respected, because only those who work for forward. But I forgot a particular, that I had a soul, and that he was my evangelizer. With his witness, my life began to sink. With the example that he gave me, he saw now with profound sorrow the responsibility he had before God, since he was a womanizer, and he used to say happily, boasting to my mother and to everyone, to be very macho, because he had many women, and he could conquer all of them. Moreover, he used to drink and smoke. He was also a good person, but had these vices, which according to him were not such. On the contrary, he believed them to be virtues. He was very proud. I was just a baby and saw how my mother could cry when he spoke about the other women. Began to fill myself with anger, with resentments of rage. The resentment begins with the spiritual death. I felt a frightening anger in seeing how my father humiliated my mother before people, and how he caused here too many tears. And she did not say anything. There I began my rebellion. When I was adolescent, I used to say to my mother, I will never do like you. You throw the dignity of women underfoot. For these we women are not worth anything. The whole fault is due to women like you, without dignity, without pride, who allow themselves to be trodden underfoot and to be humiliated by men. And to my father I used to say, Dad, listen well. I will never permit a man to do to me what you do to Mom. Never. If one day a man might be unfaithful to me, I will vindicate myself. I do the same thing so that he might learn. My father beat me, shouting, How dare you, little girl? I do not know why my father was so chauvinist. I said to him, Okay, you can even beat me. But if one day I will marry and my husband betrays me, I will vindicate myself. I will repay him with the same coin, so that man might understand and experience how a woman suffers when a man trembles her and humiliated her in such a way. I filled myself with all this hate and resentment. You know, I felt so much rage that this made of my life a rebellion. I began to live with the desire to defend the woman. I began to support abortion, euthanasia, divorce, and I counseled all the women who I knew to vindicate themselves if their husband betrays them. I was never unfaithful physically, but I did much harm to so many people with these counsels. When I finally economical well up, I began to say to my mother, mom get separated from dad because it is impossible to put up with such a man. Have a little dignity. Give worth to yourself, mom. Even though he was like that, I liked my father. Do you know that I loved him despite everything? Because my mother was truly a good woman who never taught us to hate, neither my father or anyone else. And I, you can imagine a little bit, I wanted to get my parents to get divorced. But my mother used to say, "No, my daughter, I cannot. I suffer, it is true, but I sacrifice myself for you, my children. You are 7 and I am only 1. I sacrifice myself because yours is a good father. I would be incapable of separating myself from him and leaving you without a father. And then, if I separated myself, who could pray so that your father might save himself? It is I that can beseech the Lord for him, so that he might find salvation. In fact, the pain and suffering that he procures for me, I unite them to the pains that Jesus suffered on the cross. Every day I go to church, and before the tabernacle I sit. Lord, this suffering is nothing. I unite it to that of your cross, so that my husband and my children might save themselves. I entrust your father to Jesus, together with the rosary. The devil pushes him toward the bottom, making him sin. But I push him up with the rosary. I bring them before the Blessed Sacrament, in the tabernacle, and I said to Jesus, Lord, he's here. I confide that you will not let me die without seeing him converted. Lord, I do not pray only for my husband, but also for all the women who are in the same situation, especially for those who, instead of kneeling down to beseech you for their husband and for their children, put themselves into the hands of the enchanters and of the fortune tellers, or else they betray them, consigning their own soul and the family into the claws of the evil one. Lord, I pray for those women and those families. You know, 1 year before dying, my father converted. He repented. He asked pardon from God, and the Lord pardoned him. He was in purgatory, in the lowest part, in great suffering, so that he made reparation for his sins. To make reparation for sin is something that we do not take very seriously. We do not think about it. Certainly, often it is not possible, but precisely for this the Lord grants us the grace to make reparation for our errors through the Eucharist. Every time we participate at a Mass, the Lord gives us the grace to make reparation for the evil that we had committed. God shows us in the life after the consequences of our sins, of the evil that we have done to neighbor. Even a bad look, an ugly word. If we could see how terrible it is, and how we cry there, all these errors. In the case of my father, my mother said to him to counsel my brothers, that they might abandon the life of sin that they were leading. In fact, they were following the footsteps of the father, in infidelity, in drinking. They were his copy. If he might have done as the wife said to him, this could have been reparation. But he always responded to let the kids have fun, that they were only engaged, and that later they could have time to change. He gave a bad example to my brothers, and he did not repair for his sins. He was crying there in purgatory, and he said, I saved myself thanks to 38 years of prayer of this holy woman that God gave me as a spouse. My mother passes 38 years of her life praying for him. To 12. Satan and his strategy. Those who saw the film of the Passion of Christ will remember that while they tortured Jesus, one sees a devil with a little child. Also, he's a devil who looks at Jesus and smiles. Well, may you know that today he is no longer a baby, but a malefic genius, enormous, who keeps in slavery many peoples with the pleasures of the flesh, with magic, with erroneous theology, as for example those which affirm that the devil does not exist. Imagine the astuteness of the devil who denies himself. He makes us believe that he does not exist in order to be able to act undisturbed. Yes, he guides the instruction of man in order to make them believe that he does not exist, and so to bring us to destruction. He finds a way to confuse even those who believe in God. When there are true apparitions, for example, he makes to believe that they are false. He confuses the people in thousands and a manner, taking advantage of the weak side of each one. Many Catholics, believers, and practicing go to Mass and to the magician at the same time, because the evil one makes to believe that there is nothing evil here, and that we go to heaven all the same, because we certainly do not use magic to do evil to someone. The devil guides, uses, and directs all of this with a very well-prepared strategy. You know, therefore, that when we have recourse to magic, it does not matter for whatever. The beast imprints his seal. When we go to some enchanter, or diviner, or fortune teller, or astrologer, or to one who invokes the spirit, in all of these places, the devil places his seal, his stamp. I found myself in one of these places when I went with a friend who brought me to an enchanter to console her, to predict my future. There I was marked by the beast. The evil one put on me his seal. The worst thing was that beginning from that day, in which, by way of that lady, I received the stamp of evil, I began to have disturbances, nocturnal agitation, nightmares, anxieties, fears, and even a profound desire to suicide. I did not understand the why of these desires. I cried. I felt unhappy, and never again did I feel in peace. I prayed, but I felt the Lord far from me. Never again did I sense that nearness with Him, that instinct I had when I was little. Of course, I had opened the doors to the beast, and the evil one had entered with force into my life.